الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, basically the subject matter was tawbah, as I'm sure most of you have figured out from the nature of the verses and the narrations that were quoted. And the khutbah began. How did the khutbah begin? The khutbah began where I mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah is more pleased, more happy than one of his servants, when one of his servants turns to him in repentance, than a man, one of you, who had his mount, his animal, let's say it's a camel or a horse, out in the desert, and then suddenly he lost it. The animal ran away, and on the animal was his food and his drink. So he despaired, he gave up from retrieving that animal. He went under a tree, he sat under the shade of a tree, had given up the thought that his animal would ever return to him. And while he was in this condition, waiting for death, no food, no drink, you're in the desert, all of a sudden he found his animal standing right there in front of him. So due to his excitement and extreme joy, he grabbed the animal and he said, "O Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord." The Prophet ﷺ said he made a mistake due to extreme happiness. He's supposed to say, "O Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave." He said it the other way around, which the scholars deduce that if you say something by mistake, Allah will not hold you accountable for that because it wasn't intentional. So, let me give you an example that we can relate to. You have your wallet, it has your iqama, it has your driver's license, it may have your passport, it has your money, special things that you've had for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden you lose your wallet. You know how difficult it is to lose a wallet and try to get all these paperwork, you know, get them back, going through the whole process of getting some iqama again, right? And when you are despaired from finding your wallet, all of a sudden someone comes and says, "Brother, is this your wallet?" How would you feel? Be extremely happy, right? Alhamdulillah, my wallet is back. Allah is more happy than when one of the servants returned to him in repentance, than the feeling that you get when you find an animal after you despaired, or you find your wallet after you had lost it. Allah, the one who is self-sufficient, the one who is absolute, the one who is independent, in no need of us, not our worship, not our money, nothing, is that happy when one of us repents to him. So where are those who turn to Allah in repentance? Repentance means, tawbah, to return, to abandon sinning due to your fear of Allah, and to bring to mind the ugliness of sinning, and to leave it alone, whatever that sin is, to leave it alone and have the determination never to go back, never to do it again. And tawbah is wajib on every Muslim. Imam Al-Qurtubi said that the Ummah has agreed that tawbah is compulsory on every believer. And Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi said something along the same lines. He said, consensus has been established that tawbah is obligatory upon every Muslim. You must repent to Allah, it's not an option. And repentance is from every single sin. And the evidence for this wujub are the verses in the book of Allah and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of which, of the ayat, is the statement of Allah, "Watubu ila Allahi jami'an ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum and turn in repentance to Allah, all of you who believe, all of you, perhaps you may attain success. And whenever you hear a command in the Quran and the Sunnah, whenever you hear a command, do this or don't do that, it's an obligation. Al-aslu fil amri lil wujub. Whatever Allah says, do something, meaning you must do it, unless you have evidence that says that this is mustahab. This is only recommended or voluntary. Otherwise, it's a wajib. In this particular case, it's a wajib to repent to Allah from every single sin. Now, there are many virtues for repenting to Allah. One of them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you success. Per the ayah we just quoted, that Allah says at the end of it, perhaps you may attain success. And so success is not associated with your bank account and with your how many children you have and how many degrees you've accumulated in your life. Rather, success is associated with your obedience to Allah and turning to Him in repentance. Even if you don't have anything in the dunya, you go to Jannah. And some of you have the whole dunya and go to Jahannam. So the concept of success is relevant. Islamically, it is not what the people perceive. It is what Allah has taught us, such as in this ayah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. One. Second, Allah will forgive your sins. And Allah will pardon you. And will grant you light on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who repents from sin is equal to the one who is not sinful. Yani when you repent to Allah, as if you never disobeyed Him. And usually people don't do that. When in our relationships, when somebody wrongs you, you may forgive him, but you always have a grudge. You always have something in your heart. Now you remember. Very few people have this quality of being able to pardon, completely pardon, when they never have anything against you in the future. But in the case of tawbah, there is absolutely no grudge. Allah will forgive all of your previous sins if you repent from all of your sins. So each sin has a tawbah. If you do something, you look at women, and then you repent to Allah for looking at women, you may have spent years looking at women, all of these will be erased by the mercy of Allah. If you do tawbah, where is the problem? When you die before you do the tawbah, then all of these looks that you have accumulated in your life, they will be presented to you on the Day of Judgment, and you will have to answer them. Then you will have to deal with the consequences of these violations. So that shows you how important tawbah is. It saves you from a trouble on the Day of Judgment. And so the ayah in the Quran, all you who believe, turn to Allah in repentance, in sincere repentance. Perhaps Allah will expiate for you your sins, and He will permit you to gardens underneath which rivers flow. On the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace the Prophet and those who believe with him. Their light will be illuminating in front of them and on their right. They will say, oh Allah, complete our light for us and forgive us, verily you are able to do all things. If you repent to Allah, Allah will replace your bad deeds with good deeds. Not only they will be erased, but according to some of the ulama, based on the tafsir of the ayah in Surah Al-Furqan, أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Those Allah will turn their bad deeds into good deeds. Speaking about the one who does shirk, and the one who kills, and the one who fornicates or commits adultery. After these three violations, Allah offered tawbah to all of the creation. He said, whoever does repent and does righteous deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. The ulama have two different interpretations. One of which is that if you were living the life of an evil man, Allah will replace your bad deeds which you were used to committing by good deeds that you will start committing after you return in tawbah to Allah. So your lifestyle will change. This is what is intended by hasanat, will replace the sayyiat. The other interpretation, that the very bad deed itself will be converted into a good deed. And you have 3,000 bad deeds, they will become 3,000 good deeds. And this is a valid interpretation among the ulama. So not only Allah will forgive those sins, nay, but they will be converted into good deeds. Subhanallah. one, because this is the part that we are missing as a Muslim ummah, whether in this country or elsewhere. The factor that is missing from our lives is understanding Allah's love and striving to acquire it. It's an issue that requires hours of talk. Not by me, because I'm not qualified. By an alim who could bring to you the essence of attaining Allah's love and how important it is for the slave. And that means that you do not leave any act of worship except that you partake in it. You don't be lazy. If there's room for da'wah, you give in da'wah. The brothers are doing something, some sort of good work, you're there involved. You're able to be in the doing multiple acts of worship, benefiting others. Anytime you're given an opportunity where you can attain Allah's love, you do not procrastinate. You're not lazy. You put yourself up in the front. Why? Because you want to attain Allah's love. Because Allah promised in the Quran that He loves some people. وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Right? وَأَقْصِدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِدِينَ. Do good, Allah loves those who do good. Be just, Allah loves those who do justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves the muttaqeen. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say, if you love Allah, if you truly love Allah, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will love you. Allah will love you. So one realizes these things and he strives to attain the love of Allah. In this ayah Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who continuously turn to Him in repentance. Now the ulama say, if Allah loves those who often repent, that means they do sins. Naturally, Allah loves those who don't sin even more. It doesn't mean that you sin more, so you can repent more, so Allah will love you more. It doesn't work that way. If you were to abandon sin to begin with, you are naturally more beloved to Allah than one who sins and returns in repentance. But at least, the one who returns to Allah in repentance is not deprived of Allah's love. Because Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْتَوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance. So when you repent to Allah, you are acquiring Allah's love. The Prophet ﷺ said, and I forgot to mention it there, that every son of Adam has the tendency to sin. Everyone is a sinner. Not that you were born sinful, but you have the tendency to sin. And the best of those who sin are those who continuously turn to Allah in repentance. The best of the sinful individuals are those who return to Allah in repentance. So these are some of the virtues of Tawbah, which I'm sure, because it's from the Quran and the Sunnah, has incited all of you to want to do Tawbah. You should be feeling right about now that I want to repent to Allah, mashallah. This is good. This is good information that I can really use because I'm in trouble, because of our sins and our shortcomings. So this is the objective. Tayyib, if you feel this way, the question remains, how do you repent to Allah? This is where we have a major misconception. People believe it's by so many times. I did 1,000 istighfar today while he was thinking about shopping at Danube, and thinking about the TV show he watched last night. The episode was excellent. This is not tawbah. Astaghfirullah, tawbah, not tawbah. This is nothing. Actually, if you're saying it with an absent mind, an absent heart, it may be of no benefit. It may be of no value. So tawbah has conditions. The scholars, when they looked into the Quran and the Sunnah, they deduced shurut, conditions for tawbah, by which if one did not fulfill these conditions, one is not considered to be a ta'if in the sight of Allah. The first one is sincerity. You do it for the sake of Allah. Because many people repent, not for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the people. Ask the smoker, my favorite one, the smoker. Some people, they're family members. They stay on their case. Stop smoking, stop smoking. So everybody around them at work, stop smoking, at home, stop smoking. So they leave alone smoking. Or he goes to the doctor and he tells him, congratulations, you have cancer now and you're going to die very soon. Say, oh, okay, now I have no more smoke for me. No more smoke. say, even if he left smoke, he's not a tariq, he's not a one who repented in the sight of Allah. Because he did not do it for the sake of Allah. The first one, he did it for the people. The second one, because of his health, he's trying to live longer. He's not trying to please Allah. So even though he stopped smoking, all of his smoke and the people that he oppressed while smoking. Because this is what the people don't understand. When you smoke, not only you are damaging yourself and you are disobeying Allah in public, you are oppressing the human beings and the animals and the plants, and all of them will ask for their right on the Day of Judgment. Those who don't smoke will come on the Day of Judgment to the smokers and will say, give me the fresh air that you deprived me of. Allah made this earth good and He gave you the right to breathe fresh air. You came into the buffet, to the restaurant, so you can smoke in there and force me to eat smoke, smell smoke, drink smoke. What is this craziness? What is this huge sin that one carries on his shoulders so he can enjoy something that will kill him? A'udhu billah. We need to leave in all the smoking, ya shabab. All of us. It says that multiple sin. So then the sincerity is the condition for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of people, not for your health and maintenance. Second condition, remorse. Regretfulness. Sorrow. You must feel guilty. When you disobey Allah, you must feel guilty. The Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nadamu tawba." Guilt, remorse is repentance. Like he said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj, yani this is a major pillar by which if you don't have it, you don't have tawbah. You must feel guilty. And the problem is when our hearts are dead. When your heart dies, not that it's not pumping, it's pumping blood, everything's working fine. But iman-wise, faith-wise, it's dead. Where when no matter how often you sin, you don't care. You don't feel guilty. If we are in this condition, then Allah musta'an. Then we need a whole other discussion. How to fix our hearts. But if you feel guilty, alhamdulillah, it's a good sign. Feeling guilty is a sign that Allah intends goodness for you. Meaning your heart is still alive. But you must feel this way. So you cannot be enjoying sin. You cannot do it repeatedly. Because of your fear of Allah. And because of the guilt that reaches you. Ibn Mas'ud used to say, the difference between a believer and a hypocrite in terms of sins. The sin upon the believer is like a mountain that is on your shoulders. A mountain, heavy, small sin. For the hypocrite, this the major sin is like a fly. You know when a fly comes on your nose, you go like this, go away. This is how sins are for the hypocrite. Doesn't matter. Life is good. So if you see them moving in various areas of disobedience. Their whole life is different ways of disobedience. They go home, they have a special entertainment for disobeying Allah. They go out to the marketplace, they have a special way to disobey Allah. They go to the park, there's a special way to disobey Allah. When they go to school, there's a special way to disobey Allah. They go to work, there's a special way to disobey Allah. Their whole life is just moving around in sin. Various forms of sin. No feeling of regret. This person will have no tawbah until he starts feeling regret. The third and fourth condition are similar. To leave it alone and to have the intention never to return to it ever, ever again in your life. Because of the statement of Allah in the Quran, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They do not insist on doing that sin while they know. Once you know it's haram, you cannot possibly do it repeatedly. So the tawbah must be permanent. Because some people have what they call part-time tawbah. Part-time tawbah like the tawbah of Ramadan. Huh? The one that many of us get involved in. We have a special tawbah in Ramadan that expires on the day of Eid. It's valid for 29 or 30 days, depending on the moon sighting. Once the moon is sighted on the day of night of Eid, tawbah is expired. I'm back, brother, back to the old ways. So what was I doing before? I was listening to music, Bismillah. And saying Bismillah, A'udhu Billah. La yalla, life is good. So let's see how artistic I can be on my cell phone. To what extent can I bother my brothers in the masjid? Let me bring a Christmas song. Christmas ringtone. So whenever it goes off in the masjid,
You think that you're in a club? A'udhu billah. Nonsense, nonsense. What is this jawal? You want to go to Jahannam with a jawal? Do you want to go to the hellfire because of a cell phone? Allah created this, Allah allowed us to create as human beings, to bring together the cell phone so you may use it to benefit the brothers and sisters in Islam. So you can keep your kinship ties, you live overseas, you don't have to travel over there if you cannot afford it. So you can make da'wah over the phone. Not so you can turn it into an entertainment center. Every time you come into the masjid, you hear all kinds of ringtones. What's the problem with putting a basic ringtone? There are many, if you search. Some of them are like a flight taking off, you know, an Airbus taking off. If your phone goes off in the masjid, no one will even know. They'll think that there's an airplane going over the masjid. There's one that sounds like a ship, you know, sailing. There are many basic ringtones that don't involve any music that we should all have on our phones. We don't want to hear any music, not in Ramadan, not outside Ramadan, not in the masjid, not outside the masjid. If you have a misconception about the prohibition of music, and we can deal with that at some future time, inshallah. We can dedicate a lecture about why music is haram in Islam. With the exception of the duf for the woman during Eid and in the wedding. That's another discussion. Okay? So there's no part-time tawbah. I repent in Ramadan. When Ramadan is over, I go back to my old ways. Whatever you have left alone for the sake of Allah in this month, continue upon that way until the following Ramadan, and the following Ramadan until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your soul back to Him. Don't return back on your heels after Ramadan is over. Don't go back to your old ways after Ramadan is over. If you've been waking up for the Salah, don't go back to sleeping during the Salah after Ramadan is over. Continue what Allah has blessed you with in this month. This is part of your tawbah to be accepted, otherwise Allah will not accept a part-time tawbah. The condition before the last is that you do it before you die. Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will accept the tawbah of the servant as long as his soul does not reach his collarbone. As long as your soul is not here on your throat about to leave. Khalas, the last moments of death. That is too late. And there are evidences that support that from the Quran. That Allah will not accept the tawbah of one who continues to do sins. Then when death comes upon them, they say, I repent right now. Allah will not accept this tawbah. So you must repent before you die. And the last condition is that you do so before the sun rises from where it sets, which is the day of judgment. Don't wait for the day of judgment. Do the tawbah while you're able to do so. These are the conditions of tawbah, which we should have in every single tawbah that we perform, from every single sin. And we need to repent from all of our sins. You may have one conclusive tawbah. Say, أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الذُّنُوبِ. I turn to Allah in repentance from all the sins that you know about yourself. And you really strive not to do them ever again. Or you could have a tawbah from a particular sin while not being able to leave another. But don't accumulate various forms of sinnings. Continue to repent to Allah as long as you're able to. Then we advise each one of us, depending on our condition, to repent. If you're dealing with riba, repent to Allah. If you smoke, repent to Allah. If you're doing things for showing off, repent to Allah. If you're backbiting the Muslims, repent to Allah. If you're gossiping, repent to Allah. If you're lying, repent to Allah. If you're cheating, repent to Allah. If you're oppressing the Muslims and belittling them because of your nationality, repent to Allah. For everyone, we have our own sins. We need a tawbah, a reminder for all of us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at the end, I just mentioned some ayat from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which contain a beneficial reminder for those who seek that reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a number of ayat. One of which is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, all my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all of the sins. He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. And return in repentance to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes upon you and you will not be victorious. And follow the best which was sent down to you from your Lord before the punishment comes upon you suddenly while you perceive not. Lest the soul shall say on that day, woe to me for my negligence concerning the rights of Allah, And verily I was among those who used to mock the believers. Mutawwir. Or a soul should say, had Allah guided me, I would have been among the muttaqeen. Blaming it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah didn't guide me. Or lest the soul should say, if I'm given another chance, I will be among the good doers. If I'm given another chance. But this will happen when on the day of judgment, when there will be no second chance. So now, while you're able, and alhamdulillah, all of you who are alive here, unless someone died while I'm speaking, you're able, before you leave this masjid, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these will be applicable to you. Don't wait for the moment of regret. And the second ayat which were quoted are the ones where Allah says, on the day where each soul will find what it had performed of good deeds present. Your good deeds will be in front of you on your book of deeds. And what it had done from sins, your soul will wish that there was a long, far distance between you and these sins. And Allah warns you of Himself. Allah warns you of Himself. And really Allah is loving to His servants, the ibad, the ibad al-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, interpretation of the meaning in English, that is, oh, you who have believed, obey Allah and His Messenger. Listen to these ayat. Surah Al-Anfal. Obey Allah and His Messenger and do not turn away from them while you hear. And do not be like those who say, we hear, while in reality they hear not. They say that we hear, it goes in my ear, my audio, you know, the audio is I'm receiving the audio. I'm hearing the vocals. But Allah says, وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. But they don't hear, it doesn't make it to the heart. It doesn't change them, it doesn't affect them, it doesn't benefit them. Then Allah mentions some very dangerous ayat. And Allah says, verily the most evil of creation in the sight of Allah are the deaf and the blind, those who understand not. Who? Those who say that we hear, but they hear not. They are the worst of the creation in the sight of Allah. Then Allah says, and had Allah known goodness in them, He would have made them listen. And had He made them listen, they would have turned away while being negligent. Then Allah concluded these ayat by saying, O you who have believed, respond to Allah and His Messenger if they call you to that which will give you life. And be mindful of the fact that Allah comes in between a man and his heart. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O Allah, the one who turns their hearts over and around, keep my heart firm on your deen. This is who? The Prophet ﷺ asking Allah to keep him a Muslim. What about me and you? Because Allah may turn our hearts over if we continue to disobey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't belittle the sin. Don't belittle the sin. If you continue to do it, Allah may divert you from His path. You may stray away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim and never go back to it again. So don't say it's just a small sin. That sin may destroy you in this life or in the hereafter. So Allah warned us that He may come between a man and his heart, and that to Him we shall all be resurrected. To Him we shall all return. This was in summary with some things that I forgot to mention or there, or things that I forgot to mention here. The subject matter of the khutbah. And inshallah ta'ala, brothers in Islam, all of us will strive to fulfill these conditions of tawbah at any given opportunity, beginning with right now. In this month of Ramadan, while the situation is easy, and while we're fasting, and there's a better chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate these acts of worship for us, strive to make tawbah today. And do not postpone it anymore. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ